Veronica, thank you so much for having us in your home. First of all, I'd like to find out if you can introduce yourself and what you have been involved in for the past years.
For the past years, okay. Yes. My name is Veronica Beckman, Ayile Beckman. I'm a biomedical scientist, and I worked with the Ghana Health Service from 1972 to 2008, when I retired at the Public Health and Reference Laboratory in Kolebo. So I retired in 2008. Whilst there, I started from the beginning as an assistant biologist. But by the grace of God, I rose to the rank of a chief biologist before I retired. And it was a public health laboratory, so we mostly dealt with diseases of public health interest, like the cholera, the Ebola, if they, God forbid, they should ever come here, the typhoid, the HIVs, and now COVID-19. And the department is handling some of the testing for COVID-19. I started working in 1972, like I said, and it was at that time when cholera was at its peak. So I did a lot of work in cholera. But in that same department, they were dealing with the TBs and diseases of other diarrheal diseases. In 1986, when at the advent of HIV, I was moved to that section. So I was trained to do the testing for HIV. And in that regard, I was given the responsibility to train nationwide other people, other health workers, to do HIV testing. So in fact, from 1986, HIV was my main focus till I retired in 2008. Whilst I was at the laboratory, the Public Health and Reference Laboratory, I was working closely with the National AIDS Control Program, doing their tests. I got involved in their research work, writing SOPs, policies, and guidelines for HIV and HIV testing in general. And then, when I retired in 2008, I was contracted by the National AIDS Control Program to work with them full-time as the focal person for HIV testing. So I was responsible for further training for anybody who needed to do HIV testing, and also organized pressure training for those who had been trained. The policy was that even when you have your first training, after every 2 years, you have refresher training. And I was responsible for that. There was this annual HIV surveillance to find out the prevalence of HIV in the country from pregnant women. Pregnant women were used as proxy. So I was responsible with my colleagues for that research annually until I retired. I was also involved in other researches undertaken by the department. I was responsible for the logistics and whatever the laboratory needed to support HIV. I was directly involved with the logistics and mainly for the distribution of the test kits and making sure that they were accounted for. So until I retired in 2016, I was doing work on HIV, ensuring that the quality of the testing was of international level. And so we came up together with a whole lot of policies and guidelines with regard to HIV testing, HIV research, and so on. So that is my story.
So we want to move on to the Veronica Bucket. At what point did you think about the idea? What motivated you to have the idea of Bucket?
Some in 1992, USAID, it was a a partnership, an agreement between USAID and the Ghana government to set up public health laboratories in the country. Then the only public health laboratory was the one I was, where I was working. But they came in to set up four new public health laboratories. They sort of had one built in Accra to replace the old one where I was working. They had one built in Porforidua to take care of Eastern region and the Volta region. They had another one located in Kumasi to take care of Ashanti and Buruan-Hako region, and one in Tamale to take care of Northern, Upper East and Upper West regions. The idea was that when there is a public health outbreak of any public health disease, they don't need to bring all the samples to Accra, because initially that was the thing. Public Health and Reference Laboratory was the only lab, so people were trained to man these public health laboratories. But before we could do that, they sent down a consultant who came in, I think, November 1992, and I had to partner the consultant, a laboratory advisor, to travel to selected laboratories in the regions to see how things were, to assess their personnel, their capacity, their weaknesses and their strengths, and in general how the lab work was being done. And one of the areas we looked at was infection prevention, because we are dealing mostly with the communicable or infectious diseases, or diseases in general. And we realized that there was a gap with regard to infection prevention. Either people didn't have what everybody knows now as PPE, personal protective equipment, or even the gloves, the masks, the face shields, the laboratory coats, because we are talking about laboratory. Even the filters were available, people were not using properly. And one major thing we saw was that in the laboratories that didn't have running water, people were using bowls of water to wash their hands in the laboratory. The water is stagnant in the bowl. At best, you could have two bowls, one for washing the hands and one for rinsing. And we realized that wasn't the best, because this water that everybody is using, even if it's a one-man station, it's clean only the very first time it's used. But subsequently, once you have washed your hands, you may not visibly see that your hands were dirty. But mind you, you have touched some samples which could be carrying some germs, bacteria, viruses, or whatever. So it means that it wasn't the best. So between me, myself, and the consultant, we brainstormed. And I mentioned to her that around that time, the people who sell the porridge had started using these aluminium containers that we are all seeing now. That was the advent around that time that they started using them. So I just mentioned to her, because that was easily available, something she could see as we were traveling. They were all over the place. If we fitted a tap to this sort of container, wouldn't it be able to produce running water for the labs to use? She said, oh, that was a brilliant idea. And that if possible, I should find somebody to make one so that we could try it. So I quickly talked to a plumber in our neighborhood, and he said, oh, as for the containers, they were available because they were being sold in the market. He could buy a medium-sized one and fit a tap to it, which he did. So I took it to the lab, and I showed it to the lady. She was very happy. We filled it with water, and we turned on the tap. Yeah. We had running water. So after the baseline assessment, we had to do training. So with regard to infection prevention, we taught the lab people that instead of using bowls of water, which wasn't the best if they didn't have running water, they could substitute running water from this sort of device. And so, because I came up with the idea, she named it the Veronica Packet. Dr. Joan Hetrick. She passed about 4 years ago, unfortunately.
Okay, so how did it spread to other parts?
Okay, so like I said, initially, it was being used in the lab alone. But when we organized trainings, at least all the trainings were in a facility. So the other facilities saw that this was something that had been adopted by the lab people. So in the other places, other units where they didn't have running water, they also started using them. And then gradually, I realized that schools too were using them, because if you are aware, schools were also using, you could see the bowls of water on the veranda for the kids to wash their hands. It's spread to schools, then to restaurants, to chop bars. And with the advent of COVID-19, I wasn't even aware that this was happening, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, Veronica Packet was all over the place.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, it made, I was humbled, and it made me feel good to that. Well, something I thought of way back, almost 30 years ago, which I did just to help those of us working in the lab to prevent infecting ourselves from our hands. Because, seriously, you don't know what you are carrying in your hands, and you have no idea how many times your hand goes to your face if you have something like that. Your mouth, your nose, your eye, you could easily infect yourself. So it was something I did just to help us. And today it has become useful to everybody. So I'm happy, and I thank God for giving me the idea to come back and start.
That's an interesting story. And I also read that even in Liberia during the Ebola period,
they used it a lot. Now it's being used in West Africa, East Africa, South Africa. It's only Northern Africa I haven't seen or heard anybody using, but it's all over the place. I've been getting calls from people from these places, just appreciating my efforts and what I do.
So has it in any way or form, contributed any, have you received any monetary?
To be honest with you, that wasn't the motive. And although I tried patenting it, I gave up at the point because of the bureaucracy.
Which year was that?
1993-94. I gave up on it, so I lost the opportunity. So I don't think it's possible for me to do anything about it now. But at least if I could do something to protect my intellectual property, not necessarily the financial aspect of it, I'll be happy. But I don't know even if that is possible.
But if you have people who are into patent and all that approaching you to help you,
that would be great. But so far, nothing. Mm-hmm. So, what can I do?
Thank you very much for your story.